The following is a recording of a live questions and answers session with Chris McCann that took place on Monday, August 12th, 2013.
Hello and welcome in to eBible Fellowship Questions and Answers Time, where you can interact with us with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker, Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Monday night question and answer. Tonight we're going to open up the room to take your question or your comment, and each person is invited to share whatever is on your mind by contacting us in one of the ways that were just mentioned, and we'll be happy to take your call, and I'll try to respond as much as possible by turning to the Bible, as the Bible is the Word of God, and it is there we have to turn in order to find truth. Well, we have a short time together, so we're going to get started and go to the first person on the phones. Welcome to our question and answer tonight. Please go ahead with your call.
Hi, thank you. Could you please explain the reason that 1,600 furlongs or days plus 8,400 being 10,000 days? Why would that figure of 10 be an actual number rather than a symbolic number like many of the symbolic tens which we find in the Bible?
Well, it's an actual number because God is tying together two very important things. He's connecting the judgment on the churches together with the judgment on the world. And he refers to the end time judgment process in the first instance. Judgment begins at the house of God, and God himself uses the word begins in 1 Peter 4:17, where judgment, let me read that, make sure I get it correct. In 1 Peter 4, verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And we have other confirmation from other places in the Bible, like Jeremiah chapter 25, that God first gives the cup of wrath to the city called by his name. And also in Ezekiel chapter 9, we find that God gives a command to a man with a destroying weapon and six other men to go forth and to slay. And he says in Ezekiel 9, verse 6, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So there is no doubt that judgment commences. It begins with the church. And that's why when Christ answered the disciples' question in Matthew 24, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? He first went into detail concerning a falling away, a terrible apostasy. He spoke of false prophets, and he was basically describing the end of the church age. And then he discussed the end. And that is God's program. First, the church, and we were able to learn, as God taught us, that the judgment on the churches would be a full 23 years, an exact 23 years, which turned out to be 8,400 days. And so we could say the same thing about that number, because the number 84 has everything to do with the Great Tribulation. 3.5 days is a figure God uses to represent the Great Tribulation, and that's 84 hours. 70 years is a figure God uses to represent the Great Tribulation, and that's 840 months. And 7 years is a figure God uses to represent the Great Tribulation, and that's 84 months. So the number 84 has everything to do with it. Well, yet God used that number and multiplied it by 10, multiples of 10, to come to 8,400 complete days for the Great Tribulation. And then came Judgment Day, the day when the judgment transitioned from the church, where it began, and now it expanded to the world. So the judgment that was exclusively on the churches now is upon all the inhabitants of the earth. And the question now is, well, the cup first given to the church, we're very confident, was 8,400 days. How long will the world drink from the cup of wrath that God has given to it? And so we find the figure, the number 1,600 furlongs in Revelation chapter 14, in the context of Judgment Day, and that number just fits perfectly. It really fits like a hand going into a glove, together with the 8,400. It is a number that I think God is helping us by having 1,600 fit 10,000 complete days of judgment, because that's exactly what we've been looking for, the duration of Judgment Day. How long? Until what? Until God completes his judgment of the world. How long? Well, now here's a number that leads us right to the idea of completion. 10,000 is made up of 10 times 10 times 10 times 10. It is 10 to the fourth power, and it points to the universal complete judgment of God. And the Bible just has many verses, it's true, where God uses the number 10 to indicate completeness, but all of those scriptures can assist us in understanding what God is doing with his possible timeline for the Day of Judgment.
So it's like those figures of tens, multiples of tens and of ten, are almost like echoing information about how things, how completeness is talked about by God, just like how the figure of 84 is echoing
the Great Tribulation.
The Great Tribulation. That's very interesting. Thank you so much for those thoughts.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for your question.
You're welcome.
There is a verse that I think also is something to be considered in Matthew chapter 18. It says in verse 23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon," now this is a king taking account of his servants, and that's exactly what Judgment Day is, with God reckoning with mankind. "And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents." Now, this 10,000 talents represents the complete debt of what this man owed. And then, well, the parable goes through the story of the, him being forgiven all that debt, and then someone who owed that man much less, he would not forgive, and it ended up with the individual being he was delivered to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So he did finally end up with a 10,000 talent debt. And so the number 10,000 is used in an interesting way to represent the complete debt. And what kind of debt would it be as far as man owing God, but our sin debt? It represents our sin debt, and the 10,000 talents must be paid in full. And so that can relate to God beginning Judgment Day on May 21, 1988, and then pouring out his wrath for the next 10,000 days. And also, by the way, in 1988, it was the 13,000th year of Earth's history. So basically, we would reach the number 13,000, and that's a number that identifies with the end of the world in the Bible, the number 13, and then God would begin judgment upon all the unsaved, but start with the church and then transition later to the world, and it would be a complete judgment. It would be the complete debt that, looking at it from man's perspective, that mankind owed God. And then when the 10,000 days was up, well, then the wrath of God would finally destroy all unsaved people. And it would be the completion of payment for the sin debt. But thank you.
And thank you very much too.
Thank you for your question. Let's go to the next person on the phone. Welcome to our Monday night question and answer. Please go ahead with your call.
Hi, Chris. How are you tonight?
Very good. Thanks.
I just would like you to read John 16, verse 4, and explain the last part of the verse, please.
John 16:4 says, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." Now, here, the Lord is really speaking kind of cryptically, because that he is the Word of God, and that's how God speaks in the Bible. He hides truth. And so when Christ says, "These things have I told you," well, it could be things that he personally said while he was on earth, or it could be a reference to any part of the Word of God, because he is the Word. And in any place in the Bible, in the volume of the book, it speaks of him. And so anywhere in the Scripture, he could have made a statement that when the time come, ye may remember that I told you of them. Now, if we go down a little further, Jesus also says in verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." There is a verse where it says that he will tell you the things to bring to your remembrance. Let's see, where is that? In John 14, okay. In verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And again, it's not just the words of Christ. You know, that's what those Bibles with the words of Christ highlighted in red have really helped to develop is a mindset. Well, when Jesus says something, it's what he has spoken personally. But really, when he's saying here that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you, it's referring to the whole Word of God, the Bible. And the Holy Spirit did this at the time of the end when he opened up the Scriptures and caused the people of God to understand the things that were hidden. They were basically brought to our remembrance because they were all found in the Bible. There was nothing added. There was no additional revelation. It was just a granting of understanding of truth that was already written about in the Bible.
I see. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for that verse and your question. And let's see, I think we have a question on Pal Talk. This person writes, can you please read Matthew 18, 21 and 22? What did Jesus mean when he said until 70 times 7? Matthew 18, and verse 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And this is letting us know that we are to always, as long as we're in this world, we are to be forgiving of others. And as God says in Ephesians, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That is our example. That's the whole point of actually the parable that follows in the next verse, verse 23 of Matthew 18, that I read a couple verses earlier about the 10,000 talents. The point was someone was forgiven a debt, and yet that same man was not forgiving himself of a much lesser debt. And God is painting the picture to teach us, look, you're a tremendously awful sinner, and he is speaking to any one of us. You're the worst of sinners, chief of sinners. You have incredibly multiplied sin before me, and I have frankly forgiven it all. I've washed it all away. Well, and now here you are, someone who has been forgiven an enormous sin debt of transgression, where you have offended me, God, again and again and again, and I've forgiven it all. And so now, what are you to do? Are you to forgive someone once or twice or seven times and then no more forgiveness? No, you're to follow my example. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, so do ye. And you're to forgive. And by the way, anything that someone might do to you is really very, very little in comparison to what you have done to me. And so take my example. And if at any time any of us fail to forgive our fellow man, then we should really read this parable in Matthew 18 in verses 23 and following, because it's exactly what we're doing. And if you think that this man here is a scoundrel, because, well, how ungrateful can you get to be or such a recipient of grace and of goodness and of mercy, to be such a recipient of the tenderness of the king that he owed so much to. And then the first time one of his fellow servants owes him the littlest amount, he grabs him by the throat. Well, there God is really describing what happens when we get angry and jump all over someone, or if we're turning something around in our mind that someone has done to us, and we're hot against them and we want to get them back. Well, this is a good description of what we're doing. And so we're not permitted. We do not have this privilege or this allowance of God to hold a grudge and to point a finger and to say, well, you know, this person did this to me, and therefore I'll never talk to them again. God doesn't allow the child of God to act that way. It is not according to the will of God. Now, the figure until 70 times 7, more than likely, is referring back to the book of Daniel, when we read of the 77s, the 70 weeks. The word week is actually the word 7 in Daniel, and those 77s go to the end of the world. And so it would seem that Jesus is drawing upon that figure and basically saying, look, you must forgive until the end of the world. But thank you for those verses and your question. And let's go to the next person on the phone. Welcome to our Monday night question and answer. Please go ahead with your call.
Yes, in this time of the church, would it be carnally minded to participate in a place like Holy Land in Orlando, Florida, sponsored by TBN?
Oh, I don't really know what that is. It sounds like a theme park of some kind.
Yes.
One problem with a theme park that I can see is there's a good possibility they might have images of Christ or images of God, especially if it's developed by modern churches and modern Christianity. They have no problem at all with developing images of God, and that's contrary to what God says. You know, the Bible gives us the Word of God. God could have painted us pictures, but He didn't. He decided to give us a Word, a written Word. And you know, today we're so enamored with images through all the electronic medium, television and internet, that we think, well, if we could see the ark or if we could see these things, that it will help us. It won't help us at all spiritually. If it's some kind of amusement park, it might be better to get on a roller coaster or something like that than to go and get involved with something that's biblically themed. I just doubt, I don't know really anything about it, but I just doubt that anything connected with our modern church could do that in a God-glorifying way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your question here. I would like to thank everyone for sharing your questions and your comments, and especially for the Bible verses that were raised, that we had an opportunity to read and consider. Lord willing, we'll get together again at the same time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, this coming Friday night, following the Bible study. But for now, say good night, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.
Thank you so much for joining us during this questions and answers time. The broadcast is heard live over the Internet beginning at approximately 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You may also join our Sunday afternoon broadcast of eBible's Questions and Answers beginning at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Until then, may the Lord grant us His wisdom, and may His perfect will be done. Have a blessed evening. Good night.